Chapter 28. A Verdict. Dr. Vogel informed us grimly, "I'm afraid I have some rather difficult things to say." We had all been feeling drained. The stress of a full day in court leaves you bone-tired and muscle-sore. But the doctor's gloom put us on red alert. Lori focused on her with an intent expression, Jonathan with his usual owlish curiosity. Me? I promise you we're used to bad news. At this point, we're bulletproof. Dr. Vogel avoided my eyes. In hindsight, I hear how ridiculous I must have sounded. We parents often talk with ridiculous bravado when it comes to our kids. We swear that we can take any abuse, beat any challenge. No test is too great. Anything for our kids. But no one is bulletproof, parents least of all. Our kids make us vulnerable. In hindsight, I see, too, that this meeting was exquisitely timed to break us. Only an hour or so had passed since court had adjourned for the day, and as the adrenaline receded, so did our sense of triumph, leaving us doped, punch-drunk. We were in no shape for bad news. The scene was Jonathan's office near Harvard Square. We were seated around the circular oak table in his book-walled library, just the four of us, Lori and me, Jonathan and Dr. Vogel. Jacob was out in the waiting room with Jonathan's young associate, Ellen. When Dr. Vogel turned away from me, when she could not look me in the eye, she must have been thinking, "You think you're bulletproof? Just wait." "How about you, Lori?" the shrink said in her solicitous, therapeutic voice. "Do you think you can handle this right now?"
"Absolutely."
Dr. Vogel's eyes moved over Lori. Her hair, which kinked up like stretched springs, and her complexion, which now looked jaundiced with dark bags under her eyes. She had lost so much weight, the skin sagged and pouched on her face, and her clothes drooped on her bony shoulders. I thought, when did all this deterioration happen? All at once, with the strain of this case? Or gradually, over the years, without my noticing? This was not my Lori anymore. The brave girl who invented me and who, it now seemed, I had invented for myself. She looked so wasted, in fact, it occurred to me that she was dying before our eyes. The case was consuming her. She was never built for this sort of fight. She had never been hard. She had never had to be. Life never hardened her. It was not her fault, of course. But to me, who felt unbreakable even this late in the events, Lori's fragility was impossibly poignant. I was prepared to be hard for both of us, for all three of us, but there was nothing I could do to protect Lori from the stress. You see, I could not stop loving her, and I still cannot, because it is easy to be hard if you have a stony nature. But imagine what it cost Lori that day as she sat bolt upright at the edge of her chair, gamely focused on the doctor, ready for yet another blow. She never stopped defending Jacob. Never stopped analyzing the chessboard, calculating every move and countermove. She never stopped protecting him, even in the end.